Reading comes today from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. "Come follow me," Jesus said. Come follow me. What does that mean, to follow Jesus? Well, Friday, my wife followed me to Georgetown. See, Ethan, our son, he goes to school at Southwestern in Georgetown, and he left his pickup here over the Christmas holidays. It had been hit by a bus, sideswiped. It was parked on the street at Southwestern, and a bus kind of sideswiped it, and so over the Christmas holidays we had it repaired, and it was ready, and so we took it up to Ethan at Southwestern. It's his birthday weekend this weekend. Today is actually his birthday. See, Cindy, I didn't forget. Today is actually, or Ethan, if you're watching on the live stream, I didn't forget. It's his birthday today, so we went up and kind of to see him for his birthday weekend, and also took his pickup back to him. But that meant that Cindy drove his pickup and followed me to Georgetown. And she'll tell you, I don't particularly care for following people, or it's just, it seems like a lot of, you got to really pay attention when you're following somebody, you know? And you should pay attention while you're driving, by the way. But it reminded me of a time, probably 20 years ago or so, where I was following Cindy, like 20-something years ago. And don't worry, this is not some creepy stalker story that I'm about to tell. But we were married, and we had gone to San Antonio to borrow her dad's pickup. I don't remember why we needed to borrow it, but we drove to San Antonio. Her dad lived in San Antonio, so we borrowed his pickup, and we lived out in West. I don't remember if we lived in San Angelo at the time or Mason, but we lived west of San Antonio. So we get the pickup. Cindy got into his white Ford F-150 pickup and takes off, and I'm following her back home, and we're on I-10 cruising along, and we get to Bernie, which is about 30 or 40 miles outside of San Antonio, and Cindy takes the exit to go to Bernie, which is not uncommon. They've got a Taco Bell in Bernie. They've got a Taco Cabana in Bernie. We've been known to make a pit stop or two. But so she exits, and she drives right past the Taco Bell. She drives right past the Taco Cabana, and I'm wondering, okay, what's going on here? But I think maybe she's going to Walmart. Maybe we need something at Walmart. So I follow her. She drives right past Walmart. She's now on Highway 46 driving to New Braunfels. And I'm thinking to myself, where is she going? So finally, I get my phone out, my bag phone. You remember bag phones? And I would have called her earlier, but back then, you remember roaming charges? I'm tight German. I didn't want to get hit with roaming charges. But finally, we're halfway to New Braunfels, and I get the phone, and I call her. I say, "Where are you going?" And she says, "What do you mean? I'm almost to Comfort." Well, Comfort is the right way to go. Apparently, somewhere along the way, I got behind a different white Ford F-150 pickup that was headed to New Braunfels. I don't think that's what Jesus means when he says to follow him, to just follow blindly without paying attention to what he's doing. So, but now, the other story, I got to tell one other story here that hopefully is somewhat relevant. It's Ethan's birthday today, like I mentioned, and so I got to tell an Ethan story. When he was little, he was about the third grade. He was in the third grade, and that's when he first started playing football. He was on a football team, and he was the second string quarterback on the third and fourth grade football team. He started at tight end, but he was a second string quarterback, and I was one of the assistant coaches, and I remember the first game that he got in at quarterback, that they put him in to play quarterback. And so he goes in, first time he gets in, and I gotta go over here so you can see. He gets up underneath center, and I'm watching from the sidelines, and he does this. He goes like that. And I think, what is he doing? We're not putting anybody in motion. This is third and fourth grade football, and he's down there. He does it again. He does it again. And I think, gosh, he's just doing that because he's seen people on TV do that. He's been watching the pros, learning from them. And that's how we learn, right? But then he comes to the sideline, and our center's name was Rudy. And he says, Dad, did you see Rudy was on my shoelace? I was afraid I was going to trip. I kept trying to. But I guess the point, even though that wasn't what Ethan was doing there, that the thing is, we do learn from watching other people. We learn from watching and seeing how other people do things. When you're teaching something, because I thought he was watching the, you know, professional football players do that, so he just thought that's why you did it. But that's how we learn. We learn by watching people. If you're going to teach somebody something, you usually will do that by saying, "Watch how I do it. Let me show you how to do that." And they watch and they see how you do it. Think about this: YouTube. There's a whole industry, YouTube videos. People are tiling their bathrooms and doing things that they never would have dreamed of doing before if they didn't have somebody on YouTube showing us how to do those things. I think I told them in Ignite that I watch those things. I feel like I'm qualified to do anything. If somebody goes on there showing you how to do heart surgery, I might even think, well, I could probably do that. But that's how we learn. The truth of the matter is, if you're a great cook, chances are you spent some time in a kitchen watching somebody and learning from somebody that was also a great cook. If you're a good mechanic, if you are an athlete, if you're a singer or an artist, chances are you've spent time with somebody watching them, learning from them how they do things. Somebody taught you. So how did we learn to follow Christ? Well, a long time ago, there was a bunch of men gathered along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. They were fishermen, and they'd be mending their nets and get ready to go out and catch some fish. Fishing was probably a trade that they had learned generation to generation, one of those things where these fishermen were probably prone to really watch and pay attention and study someone who had taught them. It even says in our scripture reading today that James and John were there with their father Zebedee. So this is something that they're learning from someone else. So they're kind of already programmed to learn from watching others. So Jesus comes along as they're doing these things and says, "Follow me, and I will teach you to fish for people." Peter and Andrew are the first that he comes across. And then he picks up James and John, and then Jesus goes about Galilee. He picks up Matthew, the tax collector, and Judas, and the rest, and he says to them, "Follow me." And they followed him. But when Jesus said, "Follow me," he obviously didn't mean follow like I followed Cindy out of San Antonio. Jesus didn't just want his disciples to follow. He wanted them to study him, to learn from him, to watch how he did things, to do the things that he did. Along the way, those 12 weren't perfect, but they watched and they learned. They learned to care for the humble and the oppressed and the poor. Now, you know, they didn't always get it right, but they did dwell on his every move. They saw that it would not be easy, but they were willing to go ahead and pursue God's will. That's the difference between being a follower and being a disciple. We're all called to follow Jesus, right? But even more accurately, we're all called to discipleship. And discipleship begins with following Jesus. Now, maybe you found yourself as a follower of Christ rather than a disciple. Don't worry, I don't mean that in a disparaging way. Like I said, we all start out as followers. But to truly become a disciple, we must learn from the one that we follow. To truly become a disciple, we must learn from the one that we follow. Like the disciples before us, we must study Jesus. That means opening our Bibles. That means studying the words and the actions that Jesus takes in the Gospels. That means trying to understand what Paul tells us in his letters, as difficult as that may seem sometimes. That also means going beyond what I say in a sermon. It means going beyond what a TV preacher or one you hear on the radio or what you read in a book says. Going beyond that and paying close attention to Jesus, watching Jesus closely. We begin to imitate Jesus when we do that. Maybe you've heard of a book, one of my favorite books by Thomas Kempis. He was a 14th century monk. He wrote The Imitation of Christ. Love that book. Probably read it half a dozen times. Certain portions of it I've probably read three dozen times. If you want a tattered copy of it, I've got one in my office. Be happy for you to have it. But imitation, the imitation of Christ, imitating Christ, knowing what it is and trying to understand how Jesus Christ would act and react and learning from trying to structure our lives in a way that Christ is living through us. As we imitate Christ, we look for opportunities to show mercy, to serve, to teach. We move from being followers to disciples. And as we move from being followers to disciples, our attitudes towards discipleship, our attitudes towards doing things that Christians do changes. As we become disciples, our entire attitude changes in doing what we do as Christians. When we give money to the church as disciples, when we give money to the church, it's not because we feel obligated to do so, but we do so because it's a way for us to express our love to God. When we volunteer to teach Sunday school, it's not because someone guilted us into doing it. We're doing it because we love Jesus. When we love our neighbor, we're not loving our neighbor because Jesus said so, but because Jesus did so. Serving the Lord in this world is our most tangible expression of love toward Jesus. Serving the Lord in this world with the heart of a disciple is Christ made flesh in us. Discipleship. Putting our faith in action starts with following Christ and moves us toward becoming Christ-like. What would Jesus do is more than just a saying to wear on a rubber band around our wrists. Seek Him. Follow Him. And live our lives as though He is living through us. Jesus said, "Follow me." But He didn't stop with that. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Follow me, and I will make you disciples." God bless you.